Madgavirati Gopala Sri Kriya Kripaya Jadi Tadaiva Sambhaya Pipa Rishi Yusta Kriya Janaha Sri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathata Brajavana Rupahima Pancha Kalpa Guru Vishyam Kripa Sindhu Vyaheva Chyam Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnadebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gopasavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare So we've been trying to state something the last few days in preparation of Krishna's appearance, and I have to comment that I'm not a speaker. As we mentioned in the first day, there are two speakers, a Sarad Bhakta and a Nirad Bhakta, a speaker with material desires and a speaker without material desires. We don't want to hear from a speaker with material desires, but we're doing this as a service. And actually my service is to try to serve all of you, because you're all doing something much better than me. I feel a little sad when I see all the devotees cooking for Radha Madan Mohan and getting ready with the decorations and doing so many special intimate services. So I'm a useless person, I'm not doing any particular service. But we just like to try to say something to help to serve you, inspire you in some humble way. They put the Dhammakana Maharaj's blessings. We shouldn't be speaking in front of him. We have some service to do. So, the first day we spoke something about the dynasty which came before Krishna. And Maharaj Ahuka and his two children, Devaka. You can put them on. Devaka. And Ugrasena, and we spoke about Devamidra and his two family lines. So his Devamidra's line and Maharaja Huka's line. Just go ahead and put that, okay? So, and we spoke something on that day about Kamsa and how Kamsa is the son of Babila. He's not actually the son of Ugrasena. But according to Padma Purana, his mother, Padmavati, was raped by Babila, and the result was this very demoniac son. And we spoke something about who is a real son and what are different types of births. And then yesterday we spoke something about the greed of the Lord. You may be wondering how these things are connected together. Today we'd like to try to bring them together a little bit, and we'll do that a little further in the next couple of days also. Yesterday we spoke about how real bhakti means ahaitakiya pratyatha yayatma supersedity, and how yayatma supersedity means both jivatma and paramatma. How bhakti, which is not motivated, pleases both the devotee and the Lord. And Janmashtami means, real Janmashtami means to try to understand the desire of the Lord and to cry for the Lord and have the Lord appear in our heart. And in that regard, we spoke something from the first chapter of the 10th canto, and how Bhumi Devi, the earth goddess, had gone before the devas, the Brahma, and others, and she cried and prayed with them. So Sukadeva Goswami describes how then Lord Brahma and the devas, they went to the bank of the ocean of milk, the pure Lakshmi ocean, and he began to offer prayers. And Tani Brahma Vidya Kaviye, Krishna spoke to him in the heart. And the 22nd verse of this chapter, we'd like to read something today, speak a little bit about, describes Lord Brahma's words to the devas. Lord Vishnu spoke in his heart, and then Lord Brahma repeated that, gave a little bit of a translation to the devas. Purāiva pumsa vādvito garājvaro bhavādhiram sāyad yadusu pajānyatam sayāvat urdvā vāram īśvarīśvaraha svakāla sātyā svapayam ścharit bhuvi. Śrīla Prabhupāda translates. Lord Brahmā informed the devas, before we submitted our petition to the Lord, he was already aware of the distress of the earth. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish its burden by his own potency in the form of time, all of you demigods should appear through plenary portions as sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadus. So our acharyas have commented that this verse has a number of different meanings. As Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says about the Bhagavatam, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata, Vibhusar, Shori, Kakishloki, Pratyakshi, Nanarthakoi. In each and every verse of the Bhagavatam, in each and every syllable of the Bhagavatam, there's unlimited meanings. So the word dhara means quickly. This is one meaning. One of the names of Lord Balaram, you may have heard a few days ago, is Dharanidhara. Because he holds up that person is Dhara, who's holding up everyone else. That's the earth. So Dhara is a synonym for Bhumi, for Prithvi, for the earth. And Dhara has a second meaning. There was a Vasu by the name of Drona who had a wife named Dhara. And she later became Yasoda. And this verse describes in the Bhagavatam, Dhara Dhara, that Dhara, and you can translate it as the earth, Dhara had a fever. The earth had a fever of meningitis. She had a big headache. So many demons demoniac persons were waiting on her. The other meaning is that Dhara Dhara means that Dhara, the wife of Drona, had a fever. She had a greed. She wanted to have Krishna as her son. And Lord Kildakashaya Vishnu, as described in this verse, he already knew about this desire. Paraiva pumsavadrito. It was already known to the Lord even before the devas went to offer their prayers. So Kildakashaya Vishnu, he's saying, Yadushu bhavadir amsaya. That all of you should appear in ansas, in portions, in the Yadu dynasty. This is a very significant point. If we can go through the long, strange trail that we have in mind today, we hope to come back again to this exact point and finish with it. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and our acharyas, they describe that different personalities appeared. The devas, they sent their ansas to appear in the image of the Yadu dynasty. Kartikeya partially appeared in Shamba. Kamadev, Cupid, partly appeared in Prajumna. And so then perhaps the devas, they wanted to know from Lord Brahma, okay, we have to go there in the form of our ansas. How long should we be there? And Kirdakashaya Vishnu is saying, Urvya Guru Bharam Chepayams. until the burden from the earth is removed. That's how long we should be there. Now a question comes that why is Brahmaji telling them that you should send your answers? Why doesn't he say you go directly? There's one commentator on the Bhagavatam, Harisuriji. And Harisuri, he gives a very interesting explanation. He says that Lord Brahma, he's the manager of the universe, and he thought to himself, if I tell all of them to go and take birth in the Yadu dynasty directly, then they'll all leave their posts, and nobody's going to be there to do the work of the devas. So he told them, you send your amsas. Vishwanath in Sarita Darshan, he gives a second meaning of the words amsaya yadu, that the devas should appear along with the Lord's personal associates, such as Uddhava and Satyaki, who are expansions of the Lord, their amsas, in the family of the Yadu dynasty. So, as we have our discussion today, we'd like to speak something more about these members of the Yadu dynasty and who they are and what they represent and how it is that Krishna appeared in their family. I think it's appropriate that we read a little something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Krishna Samhita. In the fourth chapter, he speaks about how Vasudeva will come, and he says that Vasudeva is a personification of absolute knowledge and a personification of pure goodness. And he'll take birth. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Krishna Samhita, he describes a difference between Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. Now, for those of you who are familiar intimately with Chaitanya Charitamrita, you may say, yes, yes, I know the difference. In Dwarka, Krishna is Purna. He's complete. And in Mathura, he's Purnatura. He's more complete. And in Braj, he's Purnatama. This is one explanation. But Bhaktivinoda, he says something a little different. He says that Braj represents pure devotion. And he says that Akura represents devotion mixed with some jnana, some knowledge of the Lord's position. And when that knowledge of the Lord's position enters into Braj, the place of pure love, then Krishna leaves Vrindavan and he goes to Mathura. So we spoke something a few days ago about the members of the Yadu dynasty and about the birth of Vasudeva and Ugrasena. And we'd like to say something a little more today about this line of coming from sage Devamita. Devamita, you can go to the next chapter. Devamita, as we said a few days ago, he had two wives, Market. He had one who Rupa Goswami in one place says her name was Kshatriya. And she was a Kshatriya. And he had another wife named Arya. And Arya was a Vaishya. From his wife named Kshatriya, he gave birth to Surasena. And Surasena married Marisha. And they had 10 sons, headed by Vasudeva. And on the other side, from his their son named Parjanya, from the Vaishya wife, Arya, they had three sons, Parjanya, Urjanya, and Rajanya, of which Parjanya was the oldest. As Bhaktivinoda has said, these different places have different purports, and there are different moods to them. We'd like to read a few things to you today from some works of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami about Parjanya Gopa and the family in Braj. Rupa Goswami describes, Puja Pita Mahadascha Tatagyeya Mahisuraha Pitamaho Hare Gora Sita Kesha Kambaraha Mangalamrita Parjanyaha Parjanyo Nama Balabaha Yasura Ser Nideshena Lakshmi Bhartur Upasana. He said that Krishna, his grandfather, on his father's side, is named Parjanya. And he's given that name. The name Parjanya is also a name for Indra. Parjanya literally means a great cloud. It means the showering of a cloud, which showers auspiciousness. Mangalam ita Parjanya. Parjanya means a cloud which is showering Amrit, or eternal nectar. And he gives a description of him. He has white complexion. He's white-haired. And he dresses in white also. He's the best of all the residents of Braj. And he followed the advice of Narad Muni. It's described that on one occasion, Parjanya Gopa, he was hankering. He wanted to have Krishna as a grandson. He wanted to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear in his family. So he approached Narad Muni, and Narad Muni advised him that you should worship Lord Narayan, the husband of Lakshmi Devi. And when he was worshipping Lord Narayan at Nandishwarpura, later known as Nandagaon, suddenly he heard a voice from the sky. And the voice said, Varisho Brajagoshtinam Sa Krishna Sha Pitamaha Pura Nandishvare Chakre Sheshta Santati Kaksharam Vaga Murta Tate Vyomni Padurasit Priyankari Tapasanena Danyena Bhavina Panchate Sutaha. The voice said that because Varishto Braja Goshtinam, because of your austerities, you'll have five sons. And of these sons, the middle son will be named Nanda. He'll be the best. And Nanda's glorious son will delight all the residents of Braj. He'll defeat all opposition. And both the demigods and demons will worship him, touching the jewels of their crowns to his lotus feet. Maharaj Parjanya was married to a very beautiful gopi named Varishto. And Rupa Goswami says that Varishto, she's a Variyasi. Variyasi is short in stature. And she dresses in green garments, and her hair, like her husband, is also the color of milk. And he says that Parjanya Gopa, Jiva Goswami says, that he was living in Mahavani. And from the very childhood of Parjanya Gopa, he was always worshipping the Brahmins. And if he was walking someplace and he happened to see some Brahmins coming the other direction, then he would stop, is there something that I can get for you? And Parjanya Gopa would give them anything they desire. And for his entire life, Parjanya Gopa worshipped Lord Vishnu. After some time, his father, Ugrasena, and other leaders of the Yadu dynasty, they recognized the good qualities of Parjanya Gopa, and they requested him to be the king of Braj, to be in charge of the land of Braj. Jiva Goswami says in Gopal Champu, Yesya cha shrimad upananandadaya pancha nandana jagat evanandaya asuhu. And Parjanya Gopa produced bliss in this world. He showered nectar on this world because he's like a cloud which gives nectar by bearing five sons like Upananda and others. Jiva Goswami says, Anyastu jalaparjanyaha sukaparjanya esatu sadayo dinute shristaya upanada virjanam. He says that there's a jalaparjanya, or a rain cloud which carries ordinary water. That's one thing, he says. But there's another thing. There's a sukaparjanya, a rain cloud which, instead of showering down rain, this cloud showers down ecstasy. That's the rain cloud known as Parjanya. He brought so much happiness to the world because he brought these five sons, starting with Upananda. Of all the different sons of Parjanya Gopa, Nanda was the most dear. He was the most dear to his parents. A little unusual Because usually the eldest son, or more often than that, even the youngest son, is the dearest to the parents. But Nanda Maharaj was the third of five sons. And he was the most dear to his father and mother. It wasn't a surprising thing, because as the Bhagavatam says, Yashastu Bhaktir, Bhagavati Kinchana, Sarvayuras Tattva Samasate Sura. Whoever has bhakti, who has devotion to the Lord, they have all good qualities. So Nanda Maharaj had so much devotion for Krishna, and therefore he was so very, very dear to everyone. And when Nanda Maharaj came of age, one of the chief gopas of Braj, whose name was Sumukh, he gave his daughter Yashoda to Nanda. I will speak something about this more later on. Sumukh's wife is named Patala Devi. And Patala Devi's brother, his name is Gola. And Gola once worshipped Durvasa Muni, and he got the benediction that he could come and live in Braj. And Gola is the husband of someone you may have heard about. We'll speak more about this in a few weeks in another festival. Gola was married to someone named Jatila. So this Sumukh is the father of Mother Yashoda. And he gave Yashoda to Nanda Maharaj. Jiva Goswami says that Yashoda was so amazing, such a powerful personality, that just by seeing her, if you would just look at Yashoda, your good qualities would increase. Just by seeing her. Indeed, her very name is Yashoda, someone who brings glory, who gives glory to the dynasty. So Parjanya Maharaj, around a few years later, he decided that he wanted to retire from being a manager and ruler of Braj. And he gave responsibility to his eldest son, Upananda. And he told Upananda that I want you to be the king of Braj. And he called for an assembly. And in that assembly, he also invited Vasudev and Gargamuni to come from Mathura. And in that assembly, Parjanya, he turned that over to Upananda. Upananda accepted that from his father. And then, standing up, he called for Nanda, his younger brother. And when Nanda stood up and came before Upananda, Upananda embraced him. And then Upananda put tilak on his head in front of everyone. And by doing that, this is the part of the ritual, he was anointing Nanda Maharaj as the real king of Braj. Everybody became very astonished to see that. Here you're becoming named the king, and you give it up immediately. And you give it the position to your younger brother. At the same time, Nanda Maharaj became very shy, very reserved. And at the same time, some people saw Maharaj Parjanya, his eyes lit up. He became very happy. Parjanya, the father of Nanda Maharaj. And Upananda then, he turned to everyone, he said, I know you're wondering, what am I doing? And he said, there's a reason for this. Everyone in this world, they're dependent on affection. And affection is dependent on good qualities. And good qualities are dependent on qualification. He said, now, consider Nanda Maharaj. The Antaryami, Narayan, he accepts Nanda as having all good qualities. Look, can you see how everyone in this room, everyone is looking to Nanda Maharaj? And therefore, we've been singing in the song every day. Jaya Jaya Bhradesh Shreshta Nanda Raj. that of all the different Brajvasis, Nandaraj, Nanda Maharaj, is the best. So Upananda said that you let him rule in my name, and I'm going to assist him. And as soon as Upananda said like that, everyone heard voices coming from the sky. And those voices were saying, Sadhu, Sadhu! And flowers started falling down from the sky. And everyone there in the assembly, they began to cry. And they all, Jai, Jai, Shabdamangalena. Mm-hmm. They all began to cry out, Jai, Jai, Srinanda Maharaj, okay? Nanda Maharaj, later he came to his father, Parjanya Gopa. And he said, Father, if I'm going to be the king of Braj, you should teach me Shastra. So Upa Parjanya Gopa, he agreed to that. And Jiva Goswami describes their discussion. Kim bhaya mulam adrishtam? That Nanda Maharaj, he asked, Kim bhaya mulam? What is the cause of fear? And Parjanya Gopa replied, adrishtam. Karma, or your destiny, that's the cause of fear. In other words, those things I just described. Books that describe about the science of astrology and omens, it said that if you see some different bad omens, those bad omens are a result of your inauspicious activities. Mm-hmm. You've done some sinful things. And because of that, some bad result is supposed to come to you. And so you see some omen. So kim bhaya mulam adrishtam? What is the cause of all fear? It's our own karma, our own destiny, which we've created. So then he asked, kim sharanam? What is shelter? What is real shelter? Where is shelter? And Parjanya said, Sri Harir Bhakta. Bhakti to the Lord, that's real shelter. Kim Pratyam? What is the most cherished thing in this world? And Parjanya Gopa said, Tad Bhakta. The devotees of the Lord are the most cherished. Kim Sokyam? Nanda Maharaj asked, what is happiness? And Parjanya said, Tat Para Prema. Love for Krishna. Krishna praying. That's real happiness. So there's a difference between the moods of the residents in Mathura and the residents in Braj. I'd like to speak some stories from a book we've been translating. Very nice book. It's a little bit of a rare book. We pulled something from it, I think the day before yesterday. This book is called Govinda Mongol. And it's written by a disciple, direct disciple of Shyamananda Prabhu. His name is Duki Shamdas. And I'll sing a few verses and you can chant Hare Krishna in response. Pratidina Yashoda Yadura Vesha Kore Padhai Chamchala Krishna Mahi Vahe Dare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Sometimes Krishna would be walking down the street and the Brahmins would be walking along and they would be chanting Om Sahasra Sirsa Purushaha Sahasraksa Sahasrapat Sabhumin Visrato Vitya Atyatista Dasangulam. They would chant Purusha Shukta. Oh, you're the supreme Purush. You have thousands of heads, and thousands of eyes, and thousands of mouths, thousands of hands. But in Braj, they don't think of him like that. They think of him as a little boy. And Pratidin, Yashoda Yadada Vishakori, every day, Mother Yashoda was thinking, I have to dress like Gopal. And she would put all kinds of different ornaments and things. But Padayi Chanchala Krishna, Nahi Rahigar, that very excellently fickle, restless Krishna, Badayi Chanchala Krishna, Nahi Rahigar. He wouldn't stay in the house. And he would go crawling around outside.
जंगल देखिया चारे बारे बारे जाए चला And in India, when you see a snake, it's a very fearful thing because most of them are very dangerous. He wanted to pick it up. Sometimes he would take the snakes and put them in his lap. And Prajala Anale, Krishna Hastaje Badai. Sometimes he would put his hand in the fire. Mother Yashoda became in so much anxiety. Just near Gokul, there's a place which there on the bank of the Jamuna, which where Krishna manifested his universal form of the Virat Rupa. What is that place called, Rajshamudra? Brahmandagat. And near to Brahmandagat, there's an ancient deity of Lord Shiva. Maybe some of you have been there. His name is Chintahara Mahadev. Chinta may have several different meanings. Chinta means the mind. And one of the meanings is that Lord Shiva, he was thinking so much about Krishna that Krishna appeared there. There's another meaning though, and they say that that Shivalinga dates back to the time of Krishna. And the mother Yashoda was having so much anxiety. For those of you who are mothers, you think that Arjun is a problem. And you're worried about him sometimes. He's going to run in the street. He's going to do this and that. Krishna is really a big problem. Putting his hand in the fire, wanting to play with snakes, doing so many things. And Mother Yashoda is in so much anxiety. Hara means Lord Shiva. Hara also means to take away. So she would go there every day to worship Chintahara Mahadev to take away her chinta. Another meaning of chinta is anxiety. So, Dukhi Shanda is discussed. But Sakka Sutriya Kapi Kapa Siddhaya Bangula Dariya Kapa And Krishna would start crawling up to it very quick. And he would grab the calf by the tail. And that poor calf would become very frightened. And the calf would jump up. And then Krishna would become frightened. And he would hold on to the tail of the calf. And the calf would start running and dragging Krishna through the mud. And then Krishna would fall down. And he would hurt his knees. Sometimes he says that Krishna would hold on to the tails of the pigs. And sometimes he would take kittens. Cats are not very clean creatures, but children are very attracted by cats. Sometimes Krishna would take little kittens and put it in his lap. When he got to be around the age of 3, Dukhi Shamdas says that Krishna started another activity. He started very quietly going into the homes of different elderly gopis. Krishna noticed a little baby in a swing.
Thank you.
is not good. So he saw the baby in the sink. Krishna took a bucket of water and poured the bucket of water on the baby. The baby was very bad. And the Bhagavatam describes that other times he would pass urine and stool in the corners of the house, and sometimes he would go and pinch the babies, and they would start crying. Gopire dekhiya hena kali tara mata aila nikata. Just at that time, the little baby's mother returned. And when Krishna saw that, he ran away. And that gopi chased him back to his house. But Krishna ran very quickly, and that gopi couldn't catch him. On another day, Krishna went to the house of another gopi. And Krishna went up to that gopi, and like sometimes a little child would do, with a very serious look on his face, Krishna spoke to her. Suno go sundari kita upadesha vani Kono mana kore shvarte bhagaya Upadeshavani, I have some instruction to give you. Little boy, telling his elderly gopi. Koroparna kori sa deha gayamina. You should give me some cream. You should fill up my hand with cream. Tomara garite no thief, tabi na ashi vichor, no thief will enter into your house. Satya katha kahiyami. Krishna said, little boy, what I am telling you is the truth. If you give me lots of cream, then no thief will enter into your house. So when that woman, that gopi, she heard that, she thought, who knows, it might just be true. This little boy is very special. When he was just a very small baby, he killed the terrible witch Putana, and then he killed that Shakatasura, the cart broke over him, and he killed Trinavarta. He's killed many demons. Maybe it's true. So she brought some cream to Gopal. And she got a big bowl, and she put it in his little hands. And she put it in a big bowl of cream, but somehow that big bowl of cream didn't fill up his little hand. Krishna just smiled at her. Give me more. So she went and got more cream and put it in his hand. And it still didn't fill up his hand. And then she gave all the cream in her house and it still didn't fill up Krishna's hand. Krishna Bholi, Sharanana, Shuna Gopi Gana. Then Krishna told all the other gopis were gathering there. And she told the other gopis about it. You should bring me more. So those gopis then they started becoming a little nervous. And they begged more cream from their neighbors. Sadeka hamira sa imana prakare bari bari jiva laya govindera kore Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Ram. In this way, they brought hundreds of bowls of cream. And again, they tried to fill Krishna's hand. And he just smiled. Give me more. And his hand never filled up. And Krishna ate all that cream by himself. Deki chama kita gobi nake vira haka. Machika hasiya vira. Those gopis all became astonished. This little boy has such little hands. But all of us together, with all the cream in all of our houses, we can't fill up his hands? Majika Hashir. Krishna just smiled. And the poet uses the name Gopinath. that person who's the Lord of the gopis, he smiled at them, and then he went back to his house. So we were speaking something about Nanda Maharaj's brothers, one of whom is named Upananda. And Upananda has a wife named Prabhavati Gopi. It's said, Janayam Gopa Gopinam Ananda Balalilaya Janayam Vayasa Charyam Masa Navanita Griham Hari. Krishna, along with his friends, he was stealing butter. This was his pastime. We may question why it is that Krishna needs to steal butter. Krishna, come. Krishna's Atmaram, he's Aptakam. He's fully self-satisfied. What is the necessity? What is the reason why he's going and stealing things from those elderly gopis? So, there's a story in this regard. We'll tell the story before our story. That Krishna was doing his Chora Lila, Makkhan Chora Lila, just stealing makkhan from the gopis. And one elderly gopi became very angry about it. And she decided she would do something to catch Krishna. So she tied up her makkhan, her butter, in a pot, and she pulled it up near the roof in her home. And that rope, she tied many, many bells to. And she said, now, we'll see. When this little boy comes to steal this butter, the bells will ring, and I'll hear about it, and I'll come and I'll catch him. So, at that time, Krishna, shortly after, he came there, and Krishna saw those bells, and he said, oh, the gopi is very intelligent. But you know, in Braj, everything is personified. Sanatana Goswami, he describes that when Mother Yashoda put Krishna down, from breastfeeding him to run and put the flame down in the pot of milk which was boiling over. The reason the milk was boiling over was because the milk wanted to commit suicide. Because the milk thought, I'm useless. What is my would benefit of my service? Krishna can suck from the breast of his mother. What does Krishna care for me? So better I commit suicide. I'll jump out of the pot and into the fire. So in Braj, everything has personality. So Krishna spoke to those bells. Said, hey, Brother Gunta, Brother Bell, you be quiet. Don't make any sound. And then Krishna started lowering the pot with the rope, and the bells didn't make any sound at all. Krishna was very happy. He put the muffin down, the butter down on the ground, and then Krishna began to distribute it to all of his friends, and then Krishna himself began to eat. And then all of a sudden, all of those bells began to ring very loudly. And Krishna became annoyed. He spoke to that bell, what are you doing? I asked you not to ring. And the bell spoke back to him and said, what can we do? Everybody knows that when Govinda eats, you ring the bell. But in Braj, Krishna didn't wait for a bell. It's not that his pastimes of stealing are something like our pastimes. We hear about the devotees, the first devotees who came to Vrindavan. With Srila Prabhupada, they had been reading a Krishna book about Krishna's mischievous pastimes. And some of them were going to Lloyd Bazaar, and as they were going by on rickshaws, they would grab vegetables or butter and different things, and they would steal it. And the local people were becoming very upset. They were poor people. And here these rich Westerners are coming and stealing from them. They came and complained to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very upset and called for his disciples, what are you doing? And he said, but Prabhupada, Krishna does it. Krishna, he was stealing all these things. We can also do. And Prabhupada said, no, you can't do this thing. So, in Mathura, the devotees there, they ring a bell, and they worship Krishna. But in Braj, all the gopis, although they complain about Krishna coming and stealing, actually they feel great happiness. Because when they're cooking, when they're making that butter, they're just thinking about Krishna. And they're wishing, oh, if only the son of Nanda Maharaj could come, I would like him to eat this butter. And Krishna knows that. And their butter is irresistible. There's no mudras, no mantras, no bells they ring to call Krishna to eat. Krishna's so eager for their love that it directly comes there. So one day Prabhavati Gopi, who was Upananda's wife, she was senior to Mother Yashoda in the village relationship. She went to Nanda Maharaj's house to speak to Mother Yashoda. And she said, Yashoda, you and I, we're like sisters, our husbands are brothers, and you know very well that I love you more than my own life, and that your son, Gopal, he's very dear to everyone. But we have to tell you that your son is acting very bad. Now, I don't say that you taught him to steal. I didn't say that. But in spite of that, your Gopal, he's coming every day to our house and he's stealing makkhan. And when I try to give him some good instruction, then your son, he becomes arrogant. And he speaks bad words to me. And he runs away. He's the son of the king of Braj. He shouldn't steal. And you showed him. There are many other naughty things that your Gopal does also. I'm not speaking about them out of respect for you. So after she heard from Prabhupada Gopi, Mother Yashoda became very upset. Krishna, come here. And Krishna came in. Krishna was smiling like this. Yes, Mother. And Mother Yashoda's heart melted. And she forgot all about her anger. And she said, Gopal, they're saying that you're stealing from their houses. And Gopal looked at Mata. I'm not stealing anything. And Mother Yashoda, her heart melted further. She said, okay, but you be sure that you don't do that. And then later that day, Mother Yashoda, she told Prabhupada Gopi that if he's stealing again from you, you tell me about it. And you bring this thief here. So later that day, Krishna had snuck into the house of Prabhupada Gopi and Upananda, and he'd broken open one of their pots of butter. Very bad. And he was stealing the butter, he was eating it, feeding to the monkeys, and suddenly Prabhupada Gopi came there. And she called out, Chora Chora Bolika, Pika Goralini, Mahila Sankara Gopi. And all the nearby gopis, they heard her calling out, and they came running also. Churanama Shuni, we've heard about you, that you're a great thief. And now we see that it's all true. So Prabhupada Gopi, she grabbed a hold of Krishna's hand, and she said, now I'm going to show your mother. They think that I don't know what I'm saying. And she started taking Krishna to the house of Nanda Maharaj. Now Prabhupada Gopi is a lady. Ladies are very shy, and especially ladies in Vedic culture are very, very shy. And she was thinking to herself, what's going to happen if I come to Nanda Maharaj's house and I have her Gopal in my hand? And Gopal was crying. Gopal was saying, please don't take me to my mother, please. She thought, if he's crying, then they may think that I've beaten the boy, I've done something bad, and it'll be a very bad thing. So she took her chadar and she put it over Krishna's head. And she brought Krishna before Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. And Prabhupada Gopi, she said, hey Yashoda, you told me that if your Gopal is caught, stealing butter anymore, that I should bring him to you. So just see, she lifted off that chadar off of Krishna's head and she pointed at him, see, I have your son here, see what he's done. And everybody was quiet for a moment. And everyone was looking at Krishna. And then they looked at Prabhupada Gopi. And everybody started laughing. And Prabhupada Gopi, she became more nervous. Why are they laughing? I don't know what's going on. And then Nanda Maharaj said, Prabhupada. He said, if our Gopal does something bad, then you should bring him. But if your son does something bad, then you should punish your own son. And Prabhupada, what are you talking about? And she looked down at Krishna, and Krishna was gone, and her own son was there. And the Bhagavad Gopi became very confused. And very embarrassed, she put the cloth over her own head, and without saying anything, she left that place, still with Krishna in her hand, and started going back to her house. And they were about halfway back to their house, and Krishna resumed his form as Krishna, and he looked up at her, and he said, "Don't do this again. If you catch me again like this, next time I'll take the form of your husband. I promise." And so after that, all the gopis in Braj, they became afraid to chastise Krishna. So this is the nature of Braj. In Braj, everything is ruled by sweetness. Whereas in Mathura and in Dwarka, things are ruled by opulence. The very names of the associates of Krishna have some purport in this regard. Parjanya means a rain cloud. And his wife, Variyasi, the word Variya in Sanskrit means resembling water. So Parjanya means giving water, and Variya, his wife, in her name means like water. So they're both giving nectar. The word Variyasi also means the most desired or the best. And Jiva Goswami says that Variyasi is also a name for Parjanya Gopa. And the very name Surasena has some purport also. We have these two different families of the sage Devamida. They have some different meanings, these names. Surasena means that Sena means a body, or Sena means a follower of, or someone who's like their jana, their chela, their servant. So Surasena means someone who's serving the demigods, serving the gods. Where Devamida, the word Nida means water to sprinkle, just like Parjanya. And just like Parjanya's wife, Variyasi, all three of these names have some meaning in common. Devamida means, Mida in Sanskrit means water to sprinkle. Devamida is also a name for Indra. And also Parjanya is also a name for Indra. But a more intimate name, Jiva Goswami describes, is that Devamida means that personality who's showering nectar on the world. He's giving the this Amrit shower. And then there's Ahuka. Ahuka is the father, or the grandfather, of Devaki. Ahuka is the father of Devaka, and Devaka is the father of Devaki. The word Ahuka, Ahu, in Sanskrit, means to do some sacrifice or offer an oblation. And the suffix ka indicates, in this case, similarity. So Ahuka means someone who's like a personified sacrifice. Similar to the word devaka, means someone who's like a deva. So these are the Lord's family in Mathura, devaka, devaki, ahuka. And their personalities who worship the Lord, but they do so in an opulent way, in a way of understanding the Lord's opulent position as a Supreme Personality, Godhead. We can read a few verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita in this regard. This is from Adivida, chapter 4, Krishna describes. Aishwarya Gineke Sama Jagata Meshrita Aishwarya But Aishwarya Shiti Laprami Nahi Mora Prita. Love weakened by that sense of majesty doesn't satisfy me. Amare Shvara Amare Apana Dehina Nara Prima Vasa. thinks of me as a supreme lord, and himself as being my subordinate, then tara premivasa aminahayagina, I don't become subservient to his love, nor can that love control me. Mora puta, mora sakta, mora kana pati, imparente, mori kore, they think of me as their son, their friend, their beloved. And they regard themselves as great and consider me to be their equal or inferior, then I become subordinate to that person. So, we spoke something about this yesterday, how the Lord has different desires, and when Bhagavan has a desire, then he manifests a particular form. When he wants to enjoy some Aishvarja Moya Leela, or pastimes full of opulence, then Balaram manifests himself as Vaikuntha. When he wants to enjoy some opulence that's mixed with some human-like pastimes, then the Lord Balaram manifests himself as Ayodhya, and Bhagavan becomes Lord Ramachandra. And his associates become the monkeys and the associates of Ayodhya. So there are different associates who manifest in different places. And one way that we can understand the Lord is to see who he's come with. There's another book we were working on recently. It's a book by a disciple of Advaitacharya. And this book is called Advaita Mangala by Harichandra Das. And he describes something about this in a very interesting way in his book. Purnatama Braja Krishna Harika Purnatam Purnatana Matara Purnatara Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Krishna's pranatama. He's most complete in Braj. And Parikara pranatama, his associates in Braj are also pranatama. And his associates in Mathura are pranatara, and his associates in Dwarka are purna. In Dwarka, Krishna is purna, and his associates are also purna, complete. But his associate and Krishna himself in Mathura are more complete. And Krishna and his associates in Braj or Parnathama. This is described by Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says, Esham evavataraste nitya vaikuntha parshadaha prapancham targatastesham prati rupa surayita. The residents of Golok incarnate as eternal associates of the Lord in Vaikuntha. Interesting point. The associates of the Lord incarnate themselves as associates of the Lord in Vaikuntha. They also appear as reflections among the demigods in the material world. Sanatana Goswami describes that the appearance of Nanda Yashoda of Golok as Drona and Dara in the world of the demigods is an example of this. Sanatana Goswami goes on to say, Yatacha, Yatacha, Tesham Devanam Avatara Dharapale Kriyam Chikishito Vishnur Bhavanti Fitaye Muhur. To please Vishnu when he wants to enjoy pastimes there, these demigods descend to the surface of the earth again and again. And so this is what we were reading about
in the beginning of our discussion, how Lord Brahma came before the demigods and he told them that Amsayadu, that you appear in some partial expansions amongst the Yadu dynasty. And this is the Yadu dynasty that we're speaking about here. And according to Sanatana Goswami and other acharyas, those personalities, even those demigods, are expansions originally of the Lord's associates in Vaikuntha. Sanatana Goswami says again, Kadapyam Sena Jayante Purnatvena Kadapshana Yatakalam Yatakaryam Yatastanam Chakrishnava. According to the time, place, and mission to be performed, the residents of Golok appear according to these three different reasons: the time, the place, and the mission to be performed. The residents of Golok appear sometimes in partial forms and sometimes in fullness. They do this just as Krishna himself does. Just as Krishna is Purnatama, he's complete, fully complete in Braj. He's complete in Dwarka, more complete in Mathura, but the most complete in Braj. So similarly, the Lord's associates are the most complete in Braj, partially complete in Mathura, and complete in Mathura and Dwarka. In Sanatana Goswami, he describes that Sridhama, gives a few examples. He says that Sridhama, who's performing pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world, he appears in Vaikuntha Loka as Garuda. And Madhu Mangal, he appears as Narad Muni. Mm-hmm. And he says that Vasudeva and Devaki, they appear as Sutapa and Krishna in Vaikuntha, and then as Kashyapa and Aditi amongst the demigods in the material world. And then on the earth, they again appear as Vasudeva and Devaki. In this way, he gives some different examples. He says that these personalities, their partial expansions come here. And he says that when Drona and Dara come here, as Nanda and Yashoda, then the original Nanda and Yashoda, they appear here, and their amsas enter into them. So this is something to understand about Krishna and his associates. I'd like to finish by reading a very deep point from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. This is from an article that he wrote in the Harmonious Magazine in 1932 called Associates of Sri Chaitanya. He says here, the appearance of Godhead in this world implies the co-appearance of his divine paraphernalia. He speaks a little in high English, I'll kind of translate as we go along. When Krishna appears, when the Lord appears in this world, when he appears, it implies that his paraphernalia also appears. And he says, Godhead must not be conceived as in any way separable from his entourage. Don't think of Krishna as being separate from his entourage, from his associates. Godhead, shorn of any of his paraphernalia, is a delusion. In the same way, the appearance of divine paraphernalia involves the appearance of the divinity. When the Lord's associates, when the Lord's paraphernalia appear in this world, it implies that the Lord is also going to appear. And so when Nanda and Yashoda appear, it means Krishna is going to appear. Because the Lord's associates come before the Lord comes. And it implies that the Lord is coming himself. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says the two are distinct yet inseparable forms of the one supreme. And he says, Sri Chaitanya is a divine personality himself. His associates share his divine nature. Sri Krishna Chaitanya is an extended subject. I like this sentence very much. I'll say it again. Sri Krishna Chaitanya is an extended subject. Repeat after me. Sri Krishna Chaitanya is an extended subject. All the six divine forms have to be worshipped if it's the intention to worship Sri Chaitanya. What does it mean, the six forms? Who are the six forms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Can you say? We've heard about the Panchatattva. But who are these six forms of the Lord? He's referring to
The first verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande Guru Nishabhaka Mishami Shabhatarakam Taprakasha Chachakti Krishna Chaitanya Samukam. That the Panchatattva plus one are Gurudev. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, all the six forms have to be worshipped if it is the intention to worship Sri Chaitanya. The Guru is one of his constituents. It is necessary to receive initiation from him. It is also necessary to be instructed by him. He says the cognitive faculty, the ability to perceive things, of the individual soul can have no ground to stand upon unless the divinity himself condescends to be the legs as well as the ground on which he is to stand to function at all. The cognitive faculty, the ability to perceive of the individual soul, we have no ability unless the Lord himself condescends the degrees to be our legs and also the ground. Otherwise we can't function. This function of the divinity is performed by the Guru. And this is why so much stress is given in the Bhagavatam on the dynasty coming before Krishna. Sometimes we think these are just a list of names and maybe it's a little bit boring. We just want to go on to Krishna's pastimes. But we shouldn't think like that. Krishna's first appearing through the forms of his devotees. And in a similar way, we have this Janmashtami festival. And as we've been speaking the last few days, this festival is kind of a microcosm of a macrocosm. It's a small thing indicating something much, much bigger. On a small level, on a big level, you can say, Vasudev, Krishna entered into his mind and his heart. And then from Vasudev's heart, Krishna was transferred to the womb of Devaki. And the Bhagavatam says it was a kind of initiation. And from that initiation, Krishna appeared. And so this is the meaning of Janmashtami. Krishna's associates have come in the form of our Guru Parampara. They've come in the form of our Gurudev. And we've become pregnant, like Devaki, with the holy name, which is Abhinatta Nama Namino. Krishna. And by chanting that holy name in our microcosm, we can also make Krishna appear. And this is the meaning of Janmashtami. Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahamahotsava ki Jai. Shri Radha Madan Mohanju ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki Jai. Gopni Manandi Hari Ho. Thank you.
Thank you.
Prabhupada que descendo de Hendrikshan, Patitanam Padam Vaishnavi. So, you have to forgive me, I feel very embarrassed to sit in front of Maharaj and speak something. I remember a nice story in this regard. One of my friends in Sopati, he gave a nice class on. And afterwards, somebody came to him and said, Radhanath Maharaj is in his room and he wants to speak to you. And that devotee went there, and Radhanath Maharaj told him, he said, I was listening to your class on the radio. It was a nice class. He said, but you should know one thing. He said, no matter how much information you have, it will never be equal to those devotees who surrendered to Guru and Krishna, the Srila Prabhupada, devotees of Maharaj. So we're just a bad imitation. Forgive us. We want to hear something from Kitana Kanamaj. So Maharaj, maybe you have some comments? The devotees maybe have some questions or other comments?
Chaitanya Charitamrita and Krishna Sabira said they have to dig into the minds of the scriptures and by hearing the results that the Jeevi has dug deeply and very thoroughly. And Krishna Sabira goes on to describe that when you dig deeply into the minds of the scriptures, you'll find them in you. So I appreciate that. That you took the time and the effort to enter into the scripture without enough learning to be able to do so, and then to generously bring all those jewels here. Mm-hmm. We hope you will show us more of your jewels and so on. Beg. And it looks like you only showed us your jewels.
I have to say something to pass in the comments. Once I was invited to give a talk at a Pondo program in Orissa. It was the biggest place I've ever spoken. There was 25,000 people who came there. There was a governor of Orissa that was supposed to be there. And they sent a car for us, and another speaker who was going to be on the Pondo was in the car. And as we drove for an hour or so to the place, he was talking to me, and I was astonished. This man, maybe he knows more verses than like everybody in ISKCON put together. He had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. He was a Sanskrit professor. And it seemed like thousands of verses from the Bhagavatam. He started quoting verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and also from Udumilamani, and Rita Madhav, and Vidagamadha. And he was just really an amazing personality. And then as he was going along in his discussion with me, he started talking to me about Jagannath and his deep realization about Jagannath and how Jagannath is actually Buddha. And he also spoke about some other things he was very fond of, like fish. And he was smoking cigarettes, this professor. And I had a realization, something at that time. We may collect a lot of information, like my professor friend. But as we said in this anecdote with Radhanath Maharaj, it will never replace surrender. And we should always understand that in our movement. We've tried in a humble way to collect a few little bits of information, connected things here and there, because that's our service that we're doing. But it's not that our service is any better than anybody else's service. The best service is that service which is rendered with love. And if you read about Jayananda Prabhu, for example, maybe he knew three or four verses which he didn't pronounce very well from Bhagavad Gita. But he was so very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada cried when he left this world, and Jayananda left. And we want to be like that, not just collect a bunch of information. So Maharaj is encouraging. Any other comments or questions from devotees? Anything else? I feel very blessed to be here in Goloka Dham. And I just really want to tell all of you, we can really feel the presence of Radha Madhav Mohan here. And not just because the devotees are doing ceremonies nicely, but because there's some love, there's some very wonderful devotional mood here. And although I haven't been coming to the programs very well, I've been hearing the morning programs are so wonderful, the kirtans, the kathas, and I see all the devotees doing service for Radha Madhav Mohan before Janmashtami. It's a very wonderful thing, and I feel very sad because of some different obligations that I have. I'm not able to come and cut vegetables and cook and help make decorations and things. Krishna Kumbh is more fortunate than me in some of those ways. So our humble service is just to try to serve you, because you're doing direct service to Radha Madan Mohan. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Radha Madan Mohan ju ki, Srila Krishna Janmashtami ki, Jai Premanandi Hari Ki.
Thank you, Madhavananda Prabhu, for this lecture. Madhavananda Prabhu, for those who came today, it's already here since a few days, and it's actually warming us up for the appearance of Lord Krishna on Janmashtami. We'd like also to welcome Tolima Sada Makanana Swami, Lokada, the devotee from Kern, who just arrived. One small thing, because tomorrow a lot of devotees will also come, I would ask if it's possible for those who came today to just approach me for the registration, so that we don't get the whole load of all devotees at one time. And another announcement, for the next Adam Bhakanana Swami will be morning lecture. Morning lecture tomorrow morning. And tomorrow evening we will have one of the sessions of Madhavananda Prabhu at 5 o'clock, like today. Then we will have Govardhati, and at the end is very nice Kanapatanana Swami. We will like make the fine tuning on Janmashtami or preparation for Janmashtami.
Can I make another announcement?
Yeah, sure.
So I also have one other small announcement, that because we want to create a wonderful atmosphere for Janmashtami, so if any devotees here don't have service, please come to see Govardhati Prabhu or some of the devotees. You'll get more ecstasy the more service that you do, and the more that everybody gets some service, the more Krishna will be pleased, and it'll be a wonderful atmosphere. Can we collect these papers again, please?